Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. We're going to begin in the 11th verse. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us online are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together and helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. We have been in a study of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've titled it Man's Search for the Missing Puzzle Piece. What happens is we look all of our lives for what's going to make us happy. Pascal said that there's in every heart there's a God-shaped vacuum, and until we find the Lord, until we find God to fill that void, we're going to be unhappy. So what happens is we find different things and we realize that the things that we find don't deliver. In the pages of the Wall Street Journal, Jonathan Clements wrote this. He said, "We may have life and liberty, but the pursuit of happiness isn't going so well. We constantly hanker after fancier cars and fatter paychecks, and initially such things boost our happiness. But the glow of satisfaction quickly fades, and soon we're yearning for something else." And so Solomon gives us a peek into his journal, a peek into what he learned having all the resources that he had. He was the king of Israel, and he had all the resources, the richest man in the world. And he comes to the end of it all, and he's basically telling us that we need to put our faith and our trust in God. Now, when we come to chapter 9, and particularly our passage, I'd like to say this statement to you today. You have no idea what you will face. You have no idea what you will face. So how do you live? And that is the subject of today's text. I want you to think about the successes and the failures that come our way. Heartache, tragedy, ups and downs. But the scary thing is it's all unknown when it's going to come, and it strikes at the least likely time. I was walking through a hallway in Jacksonville, Florida, when on a monitor it showed what was happening on 9/11. 2001. I remember exactly where I was, and those of you that were alive during that time, you probably remember exactly where you were. I did not realize it until this morning when I was talking with Peter, but Peter, who I baptized, Peter Mayers, was a New York firefighter on 9/11. Is that amazing? And he was in Long Island. And their group in Long Island backed up the group in Queens as the group in Queens went down into the city. But he was there on that day. Come to find out, Jennifer was there in the military on that day as well. It's a small world. But just like that, that day struck. And everybody that was alive remembers where they were on that day. And that day resulted in all those people that died, 2,977 people that died. So today, I want us to take a hard look at reality. The title of today's message is A Hard Look at Reality. I've said this before, and I want to say it again. I'm so thankful that God's Word does not candy coat the Scripture. But God's Word gives us the truth about life, because the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. And just because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior does not mean that you will not have extreme difficulty that comes in your life. Now, you say, well, it must be everything is just thrown to fate. Everything is about luck. You know, I was thinking about the idea of luck. There was the story of Donald Peters, who bought 2 Connecticut lottery tickets. He had done that for 20 straight years at the end of the week. And he went in on this day, and as it turned out, 1 of the 2 tickets was worth $10 million. But Peters was not as lucky as one might think, because he died of a heart attack later on that very day that he bought that winning ticket. Sometimes life delivers things that we don't understand, and sometimes life delivers things that are very hard to deal with. But the Bible gives us a hard look at reality, because let me tell you something. We don't know what we're going to face. Let's look at what God says about that issue and how we can adjust our lives to conform to His wisdom in living this life. So I'm looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'm going to begin with verse 11, and I'm going to read down to verse 18. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy. This is Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Verse 13, this wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Now, there are 3 main movements in this passage of Scripture that I'd like to highlight. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write these down. Here's the first one, as we look at a hard look at reality. Number 1, in reality, life is unpredictable. In reality, life is unpredictable. In other words, your abilities don't always guarantee success. He gives you 5 examples in our text. He says, in the first one, the race is not to the swift. Well, generally, the race is to the swift, but time and chance affect it. The race is not necessarily to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. There's another example. Nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. So it doesn't always happen that way. It's unpredictable. Look what happens at the end of verse 11. It says, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time. There are evil times, the Scripture's telling us, and every once in a while, there is an unpredictable event that takes place. Matter of fact, the word time in verse 11 and verse 12 means seasons of life or an appointed time of judgment. The word chance simply means an occurrence of an event. So if you look at that verse, it says, but time or a season of life and an event happened to them all. In other words, you're going through life and all of a sudden there's going to be an event that will take place. The word chance is usually associated with misfortune. And so have you come along in your life and all of a sudden something of misfortune takes place? Something happens. The scripture is trying to tell us, trying to be honest with us, trying to shoot us straight to say that even though you may be the swiftest, even though you may have the wisdom, even though you've tried to do everything to do the things right, just because you have that ability does not always guarantee your success. But the word chance there is not talking about luck. It's just talking about an occurrence. The Canadian humorist Stephen Leacock said this. He said, "I'm a great believer in luck. I find that the harder I work, the more of it I have." So we're not talking about necessarily about luck, but we are talking about sometimes there are occurrences that happen and life becomes unpredictable. Many of you may not know this name, but some will. There was probably the most famous psychic in American history was a lady by the name of Jean Dixon. Jean Dixon, she made a prediction. She said that a famous entertainer will leave the nation in mourning within weeks. Well, whether the nation mourned or not, just 3 weeks later, Dixon herself died of a heart attack. It is doubtful that she ever saw it coming. So sometimes there are unpredictable events that happen in our life. And that's just a hard look at reality. Let that sink in a minute. I need that to sink in my life some. Sometimes when I take a hard look at reality, I must realize that in many ways life brings unpredictable events. Now, usually the fastest person wins the race, but not always. I think about the story of Abner and Asahel in 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're not going to read that, but Abner was against David, and Abner was losing the battle against David's men, and Asahel was one of David's generals. They said in the Bible that Asahel could run like a gazelle. He was faster than Abner. And so he kept chasing Abner, and Abner was running. It was like a guy running for a touchdown, and that back was trying to get him before he got to the goal line. And yet Asahel was faster than Abner, so he kept gaining ground. And Abner kept saying, "Don't keep chasing me. Don't keep chasing me." And Asahel was faster. The Bible says he was like a gazelle. So you'd think that he would win and overtake him. But at the last moment, the Bible says that Abner took a spear and turned around. And the Bible's pretty graphic about this. It says that it took the blunt end of a spear, and he hit his belly with it. And then the Bible just puts this detail in there. It came out his back. Thought that was kind of interesting. Abner was not the fastest. You would think the fastest would have won that battle. Well, Asahel chased him down, and he was faster, but in that moment, he lost. And sometimes life is that way. In verse 12, it says this, "For man also does not know his time." So because we can't always know our time, we can't always know the occurrences that are unpredictable. You know what that leads us to do practically? It leads us to be humble about our time. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, it says this, "Come now, you who say tomorrow, today, or today, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say," and here's a good example for us, "instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." And so because life is unpredictable, we should live humbly and say, "Thank you, Lord, that we have this day, because we don't know what may happen." So we're taking a hard look at reality today, congregation, and we realize the first thing is that life is unpredictable. Here's the second thing. In reality, wisdom, or living by wisdom, has a track record. So what are you going to do? Is life unpredictable? So you're going to say, well, I'm not going to try to live by the wisdom of God. I'm just going to let life happenstance happen in my life. No, I want to encourage you to live by God's wisdom, because wisdom does have a track record. Now, he gives us this example in verses 13 through 15. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun. And look at this phrase, it seemed great to me. That is a strong statement that Solomon is giving there. He says, it seemed great to me. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is significant. It taught me a great lesson. He says in verse 14, it says, there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. This is someone you would have never thought would have had the wisdom to know how to deliver that city. He was a poor man, and yet he was wise. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Now, the Bible does not tell us how he did it. It doesn't give us the insight as to the wise strategy that he had. But it does say that he was a poor wise man, and his wisdom delivered the city. He's giving us an example that wisdom is better than going your own way. Living by wisdom is better than going your own way, because wisdom has a track record, all right? And so it says there in verse 15, the poor wise man, and he delivered the city, yet no one remembered the same poor man. Now, the man delivered the city from a great king. I want you to think about, for example, let's say you're trying to find wisdom about marriage. Do you know that wisdom has a track record on that? God has a track record on that. Find someone who's been married for 50 or 60 years and they're in love, and that's your track record. Find out how they did it. Find out that they lived by wisdom, and then go that way. Now, you can go your own way and say, well, you know, really, relationships are kind of like, what am I getting out of it? If I'm getting this out of it, then I can, you know, turn it on, turn it off. I can go to somebody else if I want to do that. Well, the world, Hollywood teaches us about relationships. My question is, where are you going to get your examples? Can I make a statement to you? Wisdom has a track record. Wisdom has a track record in all areas of life, in relationships, in money, in your work world, in your family, in your church life. Wisdom has a track record, and I encourage you to dig in and find out what wisdom says about that. Now, it says that it was a great king. You know, wisdom doesn't always dress in flamboyant royal robes. Boy, there was a great king who came around that city, and he was going to besiege that city. And if anybody would have been a betting person in that world, they would have said, I guarantee you that that king is going to defeat that little city. That little city doesn't have hardly anybody in it. The Bible tells us that. Their smartest guy is a poor wise man that's coming up with an idea. I guarantee you that that great king, the Bible says, is going to defeat that city, but he didn't, because wisdom doesn't always dress in flamboyant royal robes. Sometimes to the world they seem poor. Sometimes to the world they may not have the answer. And sometimes to the world the wisdom that God gives you about how to live your life may not seem so popular. Now the Bible says, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Sometimes the wise doesn't get the recognition that they deserve, and in this case, they didn't. In this case, the poor wise man who delivered the city, the Bible says no one remembered that same poor man. So sometimes wisdom does not get the recognition that it should be getting, that it deserves. I think about, when you think about sometimes the one that was not should not have won ends up winning, I think about David and Goliath. I have in my office some little stones from the Valley of Elah in Israel, where is the place where David picked up stones and he went out, this little boy went out to defeat the great giant. The truth of the matter is, if you were a betting person, you would have said, you know, Goliath is going to defeat David today. But and yet David, with the strength of God ended up winning and ended up overcoming and ended up defeating. And can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you walk in God's ways, you may seem like that poor wise man up against a Goliath, but don't ever forget that David's defeat Goliaths every day with God's help. And so the truth of the matter is that wisdom does have a track record. Listen to the wisdom of God. I'll never forget being in a youth camp when I was a teenage boy, and a man was giving his testimony in front of our cabin, and there was about 15 guys there, and he got up and he said, "Guys," he said, "let me tell you what happened to me in my business. Let me tell you what I was using my energy to do. I was using it to make money. Money was everything to me." And he looked at us all and he said, "I made $1 million. Of course, I'm looking over at my buddy and I said, that guy's a millionaire, you know. And he said, "I made $1 million. And he went on to tell a story how that he made some unwise business decisions. And then he paused and he said, "Guys," he said, "I lost that $1 million. It was gone." He said, "Don't ever think that money is the answer for your life." I have never forgotten that. And then he went on to say, "The greatest joy of my life has been to serve Jesus Christ with my life and to win people to Christ and to be here with you guys and to disciple you to know Jesus Christ. I have never forgotten that." You see, that day in my life, wisdom was trying to speak to me about what was important. Because the world out there says, you know, if you just had $1 million, man, you'd really be happy. If you just had this. And the materialistic world screams at us to say, this is the answer to life. The truth is, let me say something to you. Life is unpredictable, but the reality is wisdom has a track record. Take a look at what God's ways teach us. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. And so we realize that wisdom has a track record. Go with the ways of God in living your life. Here's the last thing. In reality, wisdom is after you. Wisdom is looking for you. It says, wisdom is better than strength. Now, in verse 16, it says, "Then I said, wisdom is better than strength." The word "better" there means more advantageous. Now, you think, you know, if I go my own way and do what I want to do, I'm going to be better off because nobody knows what I want to do. Nobody knows what I need more than myself. Well, let me just tell you something. The Lord created you. The Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. So if you will listen to Him, it will be more advantageous. You say, "Well, I don't know that I really want to surrender my dating life to Jesus Christ because, man, He may make me break up with that person. He may make me wait right now. He may make me go in a different direction." Can I tell you something? It will be more advantageous if you wait on God, if you do things God's way. That's what it says when wisdom is better than strength. The word "better" means advantageous. It means effective. It means good. It means joyful. Can I tell you this? When you live by God's wisdom, you have more joy. Because God supplies that joy in your life when you live that way. And so, then it says, the poor man's wisdom is despised. The word "despised" means to scorn. It's despicable, which means deserving hatred and contempt. It means to look down on. Can I tell you this? Sometimes when you decide that you're going to live your life for Jesus, when you decide you're going to sell out to Christ and you're going to obey the Word of God and do what Jesus wants you to do, sometimes that wisdom is despised. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, and sometimes when we follow Christ and we live that way, it goes so against the grain of society that people look down on you, people may make fun of you because you live that way. My pastor used to say this to us when we were young people. He said, "Listen, any dead fish can just float downstream. but it takes a fish with a backbone to swim against the current. So you think about it as you contemplate, am I going to live by the wisdom of God in an unpredictable world, or am I just going to go my own way? Am I going to listen to the world and what it says? The truth of the matter is wisdom is after you because wisdom is better. It's more effective. So the poor man's wisdom was despised. And then in verse 17 it says, words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard. Wisdom here. Hey, I've got an idea. You ought to do this. Wisdom. Now, the fool and the world's ways are loud. Come on over here. Man, you'll love it right here, man. This is so much satisfaction right here. I wouldn't do that. The Bible says that wisdom is spoken quietly. I love what Chuck Swindoll says in his commentary on this text. He says that human rulers will always outshout wise counselors, and fools will always prefer the former. Human rulers will always outshout wise counselors, and fools will always prefer the former. And then in verse 18, it says this. It says, and one sinner destroys much good. You know, it just takes a decision to derail what Jesus has for you. As a matter of fact, the illustration, the best illustration is the life of Adam. You know, because of one man's sin, all fell. In Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, it says this, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all. And he says there at the end of our passage, but one sinner destroys much good. Folks, we've got to get this right. We've got to align our heart with the wisdom of God. We've got to align our ways with the ways of God. Because when we make wrong choices, we listen to the shouting fool. Then all of a sudden it impacts others. It says, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification and life. So by one man's act, Jesus Christ, now we all have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? Your decision as a dad affects your children. Your decision as a friend could affect others. Chapter 9, the whole chapter is about the unpredictability of life. And really, the first part is about the reality of death, and the second part is about the unpredictable part of life. And Dr. Wiersbe says this about chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes. He says, since death is unavoidable and life is unpredictable, the only course that we can safely take is to yield ourselves into the hands of God and walk by faith in His Word. We don't live by explanations, we live by promises. We don't depend on luck, but on the providential working of our loving Father as we trust His promises and obey His will. Aren't you glad that Solomon, aren't you glad that God's word shoots us straight? It tells us life is unpredictable. It tells us that ultimately death's going to come. Ultimately, there'll be circumstances that come in our life. And yet it tells us, last week we looked at the fact that we should enjoy life. Well, we also, this week, are looking at the fact that we should walk in wisdom, that we should orient our life by the wisdom of God. And when we do that, ultimately we will be glad because it is better. It is more advantageous. I don't know that there's ever been a more celebrated baseball player than Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle won the Triple Crown. He was MVP three times of the league. He hit homers both right-handed and left-handed in the same game 10 times. That is a record that has never been broken. He was a switch hitter, and he hit homers in 10 games, both right-handed and left-handed. Mickey Mantle developed cancer, largely the result of alcohol in his life. And when he died, Sports Illustrated did an article on him, and I sometimes clip things and keep them just to remind me. You know how I said that wisdom has a track record? Sometimes I keep things just to remind me about life. The title of this article in Sports Illustrated was "I Was Killing Myself." And in this article, he talks about that every day they would have what they called the breakfast of champions, and it was some type of alcoholic drink that he and his buddies would drink. And he talks about all the tragedy in his life, and he says one of the things I really screwed up besides baseball was being a father. I wasn't a good family man. Now, these are his quotes. He says, "I wasn't a good family man. I was always out, always running around with the guys. Mickey Jr. could have been a tremendous athlete. If he'd had my dad, he could have been a Major League Baseball player. My kids have never blamed me for not being there. They don't have to. I blame myself." The Springfield News Leader in Missouri wrote this article. He said, quote, Mickey Mantle, they quote him, he said, "God gave me everything and I blew it. For the kids out there, don't be like me," is what he said. One of the greatest of all time. Anybody that's aspired in baseball has been a student of Mickey Mantle. I went online and I found a $44,000 Mickey Mantle signature on a baseball on eBay. He was actually had signed it with Muhammad Ali. And because of that, they put $44,000 on it. There were some of them for $8,000. There were some of them as low as I wanted to throw it to me. That's not Mickey Mantle's signature. If that was Mickey Mantle's signature, I would not have been throwing that ball around. Although, this is the signature of one of Mantle's teammates. The Mick was the greatest baseball player on that Yankee team, but there was a second baseman on that Yankee team named Bobby Richardson. Bobby Richardson didn't have the breakfast of champions every day. Bobby Richardson was a believer in Jesus Christ, and Bobby Richardson was a teammate to Mickey Mantle, and he was a role model. He didn't want to participate in all that. He had a long career. He was actually a 1960 World Series MVP, an incredible glove, incredible baseball player. See that, Papa? How about that? But anyway, who can catch it? I got no takers. How about Chris? Kelly can catch it. How about Chris? Throw it up here, hon. Oh, I can't catch it. She always could throw harder than me. But anyway, to continue with the article, it says, He received a liver transplant on June the 8th, but lost the battle because the cancer had spread. After he quit drinking, he was able to be brutally honest with himself and the world. In the process, although it has not been widely reported, he allowed former teammate Bobby Richardson to tell him of Jesus Christ and how he could be forgiven. At Mantle's funeral, which was held in Dallas, Texas, Richardson told the events of Mantle's conversion and how he questioned him about his assurance. When asked what he would answer, when asked why God should let him into heaven, Mantle replied, "I'll just say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am trusting Christ's death for me to take me to heaven." When Mickey Mantle came to the end of his life, now listen, wisdom has a track record. Wisdom has a track record. Wisdom has a track record. Wisdom is after you. Life is unpredictable. So how are you going to live? So when he came to the end of his life, he said, I want to talk to Bobby. Why? Because he knew of the commitment that Bobby Richardson had. Where's my ball? Bobby Richardson came and spoke to our young people one time. And I went to a sporting goods store. I said, I want the closest thing you've got to a Major League Baseball. And I asked one of our staff members that was going to be with Bobby Richardson. I said, would you get him to sign that for me? And he did. On eBay, I think it's worth about $60. But it's worth everything to me in the lesson that wisdom teaches. The world is shouting, and it's loud. Go for materialism. Go for pleasure. Life's unpredictable, so what does it matter? And wisdom whispers, don't do that. Live your life God's way, and you'll be glad you did. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.